Good evening. Glad you're here. Let me see if we're all here. George Sutter down there on the end. His wife Naomi back here. Doc Johnson. Mona Thronson. Yep. Looks like we're all here, along with the mosquitoes. They're kind of fierce this week. Last night it was reported a man on his way out was held down by a couple of mosquitoes until he cried uncle. Hang on to your kids tonight. They've been known to carry off small children. But we're going to go to a little different time and season. No mosquitoes. Very familiar to everybody in Wisconsin. Winter time. It was a cold winter. Hard to imagine this place covered in snow, isn't it? Hard to imagine a tired sun sitting on top of the pines up there. Sitting there, not giving off any more heat than an old yellow dog. Cold winter. By so cold, a man's shadow froze to the barn if he paused too long during chores. Cold enough. Out in the fields, we were talking loud so as to hear through our wool caps. And our words froze and fell to the ground. I had to pick him up, put him in my cap, and carry him home to thaw out, just to hear what we had to say. Sure is cold. Yep, sure is. A winter you think will keep on into September. Well, you figure it'd take that long just to melt the lake ice. Melt the ice beneath the fish shanties where men hold out. Brave men holding out till a few of them break through. Like heroes going down with the shanty. Drug in by enormous fish, they say. Fish so big their pictures weigh 12 pounds. Those men are getting over their colds now. Those that caught colds, some too slow to catch colds. Yep, cold winter. Hard to imagine it, isn't it? Ooh, cold winter. Hard to imagine. So we won't. Because it's summertime. And we're all thawed out. Yep, it's summertime. Most of the hard work's already been done. Now, there are those that prefer to avoid the groundbreaking, back-aching work that begins each spring. Champion of the local work avoiders happens to be our own George Sutter, who even as I'm speaking is no doubt feeling a touch of the rheumatiz and seeing his wife, Naomi, off to the field.
Morning.
Sure is.
Have some breakfast for you.
What in cremation is that?
Pancakes.
Pancakes?
Pancakes. They're just sort of thin.
Thin? They've only got one side.
I only got one arm to flip them with my rheumatism and all.
It's not the rheumatism I'm worried about, it's the and all. George, you're all vine and no taters.
I'm gonna go see Doc today about a cure. Day's coming when I'll rise from affliction and take my rightful place behind the team.
Rightful place? It's been 3 years, George Sutter. Thunder ain't rain, thunder ain't rain.
Morning, George. Naomi?
Morning, care for some breakfast?
What's that?
Pancakes.
Pancakes?
Pancakes.
Think I'll pass. Now, how'd you get them so thin, George?
Practice.
Heading out to the field, Naomi?
Oh, it's my rheumatiz. She thinks I'm sloughing off, huh? I'm gonna go see Doc today about a cure.
That Doc is about as useful as mustard plaster on a wooden leg. His cures are worse than the affliction. Tell me, when did men stop working for a living?
Oh, don't be contrary, Naomi.
This new crop of man gets more for his opinions than he does for his corn. And his corn ain't much. That Doc Johnson is the perfect example. Mark my words. We'll be combing gray hair together before he cures you. Well, I'm off to work. There must be work done by hand or none of us could live. Someone's got to provide. Oh, the hole in the screen door is getting so big, you might as well leave it open.
Boy, that Naomi can sure be contrary. If she drowned, you'd have to look upstream.
She could get the last word in on an echo.
Yep. Well, tell you what, I got these dishes to scrape. Then I'm going to go head to town and have Doc take a gander at my injured wing here.
Well, I'll see you when I see you.
You betcha. Cripes. Look at this house here. What a mess. Where do you begin? Oh, my. There's grease and there's grime from corner to center. Forever at war and forever alert. Can't rest for a minute, the enemy enters. I spend every day in a struggle with dirt. Oh, housework is toil, but farming is trouble. A battle with soil are both anyhow. If I were to measure the worst of two evils, I'd rather scrub dishes than follow a plow. Now let's see. If I were to do last Wednesday's dishes now, and Thursday's dishes tomorrow, I could do Friday's dishes. This gets a little tricky. I better think about it some more. There's too much scrubbing that goes with the dishes. There's too much ironing goes with the shirt. There's nothing that pays for the time you waste on it. I spend every day in a struggle with dirt. Oh, housework is toil, but farming is trouble. A battle with soil are both anyhow. If I were to measure the worst of two evils, I'd rather be cooking than milking a cow. No time for dishes now anyway. I gotta go see Doc.
Now, Doc, as he was called. I say called because there was some question as to the origin of the elaborate diplomas holding up the wallpaper in his office. Was in truth named Ebenezer Thomas Jefferson Johnson at birth. So Doc was just a nickname. A shorter way of getting his attention than reeling off the entire roll call he'd been saddled with by his ambitious sires. But Doc was a believer in old remedies, what some call folk remedies. Through his weekly advice column in the Gazette, he dispensed his knowledge of these cures. Cures that invariably included the liberal application of his patented cure-all, wizard oil.
Dearest Dr. Johnson, my poor ears are aching. I can't hear a word. My husband said write you, and I soon would be cured. I'm oftentimes crying. My ears hurt so bad. My husband, he shouts so. I don't want him mad. Signed, Earful. Dearest Earful, after much thought, I have arrived at a remedy. Have a man unrelated to your family blow cigar smoke in your ears, at which time you should cover them with freshly cut onions. In addition, tell your husband, the shouter, that the cure must have silence to take effect. A year of silence. Your earache should disappear within a month and won't be a problem for at least a year. At which time you should repeat the prescription. In healing spirit, Dr. E.T.J. Johnson, oh, post-scriptural, rubbing a small amount of my patented wizard oil on the affected area will hasten healing and swathe you in the fresh scent of pine, an aroma known by all to have therapeutic properties. Enclosed is an order form for the above-mentioned elixir.
Afternoon, Doc.
Afternoon, George. How can I be a help?
Well, Doc, Naomi.
Naomi? Why, she's never ill.
She isn't now either.
Well, why should she need my advice, then?
Nope. I don't know. Maybe I should start over.
Already?
Afternoon, Doc.
George?
I'd like some advice.
Well, that's my business. By the way, how's that wife of yours?
Oh, she's not ill.
Well, I guess you're looking for a preventative cure, then.
Actually, it's a cure for me.
You know, I was just going to say, I saw Naomi in town yesterday, and she looked fine. Well, you look like the tail end of bad luck. Maybe we should talk about your arm there.
I was thinking maybe.
It's rheumatism, I can tell by the way you're moving it.
Yes, sir, it's rheumatism.
Well, take this copper ring and put it on the third finger of your right hand, and it won't get any worse. You still have some of my wizard oil.
More than a bit.
Apply it liberally.
I've been. Naomi's complaining of the smell.
Well, the fresh scent of pine is the most natural of all smells.
She did say at least it overpowers the unnatural smell of my cooking. Say, Doc, I brought you a piece of my cake a while back. Now, it weren't so bad, was it?
Oh, weren't so bad? Suppose it depends on what you compare it to, some things being relative and all. It weren't the worst I ever ate.
That's reassuring.
No, sir. That honor lies with Miss Charlotte Fogarty's Christmas cake. One night as I stopped at the window, a man handed through it to me. A little gilt-edged invitation, saying, Johnson, come over to tea. Well, I hemmed and I hawed when I took it, but nothing to do but a seed. For Sharum at Fogarty sent it, just for a friendship to seek.
The first thing they gave me to tackle was a slice of Miss Fogarty's cake. Without the aid of some liquor, found it more than a good man could take. I trod and I choked on a cherry, and the citron and cinnamon too. Tried not to make a scene or the berry, and the crust it was made out of glue.
Well, one thing you could say about Miss Charlotte's cake.
Well, what's that, Doc?
You couldn't have her cake and eat it too. There was caraway seed in abundance. Should have built up a fine stomach ache.
Would have killed a man twice after eating one slice of Miss Fogarty's Christmas cake. Would have killed a man twice after eating one slice of Miss Fogarty's Christmas.
Well, bring me some figgy pudding,
Miss Fogarty's Christmas.
Well, please bring me figgy pudding,
Miss Fogarty's Christmas.
I'd rather have figgy pudding than Fogarty's Christmas cake. Yes, sir, that was poor cake. Barely survived. Well, back to your ailment. If my wizard oil has failed to bring about recovery, you are truly ailing. I best come out tomorrow for a home treatment.
Oh, you don't need to go to
all
that.
No, sir, home treatment it is.
How about a note I can take home to show
Naomi? George, the reputation of my fine oil is at stake here.
Well, Doc, I can't afford to pay.
I'm not a politician needing to be paid for my favors. I pounce on the opportunity to serve you like a duck on a June bug. I'll see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Now, if Doc's offer to George seemed generous, it was. But there is reason to believe that Doc's enthusiasm for the job was helped along by the fact that George Sutter's neighbor, old man Thronson, had a daughter, who Doc saw as the answer to the often asked question of his bachelorhood. Now, I was on the dirt road up to Sutter's, twisting past the Thronson homestead. I met Doc walking next day about noon. Hello, Doc. You out walking?
Well, hello, yes. I'm just out taking a walk.
Beautiful enough morning for you?
Oh, it's beautiful.
As weather goes, it sure is fine weather.
Sure is fine.
It sure is.
Is.
Well, I'll see you when I see you.
Probably will. Hold there. There was actually something I wanted to ask you.
Well, ask away. I'm only ears.
Well, like myself, you are a man of experience. I was curious if one particular experience had ever been your experience.
What might that be, Doc?
Well, I was curious. Have you ever been in love?
Love? let's see, love. You know, I liked someone an awful lot once, but I don't think it was love. At least not staying together love. At least we didn't stay together if it was love. No, guess I never have been in love.
Well, thanks.
Wait. I'm lying to you. I'm lying.
You are?
Yeah. There was once, actually.
There was?
Yeah, there sure was. Old Dave.
Old Dave?
Old Dave. I don't like to talk about it much.
Well, perhaps it wasn't an appropriate question.
Old Dave. My dear old mule. We did everything together. I used to own a donkey, a bobtailed, stubborn mule. I bought him at the age of 29. His head was full of starch from stopping railroad cars. He was raw-boned, crippled, deaf, and blind. He'd stop a steam engine, he'd knock you for a goal. He'd send you where the governor belonged. He might have have gone to Congress if he had only lived. Empty is the stable, Dave is gone.
Empty is the stable, Dave has gone to rest. He's gone where all the good old donkeys go. He died at 4:30. He's gone to the beautiful shore. Empty is the stable, Dave is gone.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to pay our final respects to...
Dave.
Dave.
Old Dave.
A mule too good for this world.
Amen.
As Dave's closest living relative, perhaps you care to share a few of your thoughts about the deceased.
His hoof was like a slingshot. He'd raise you through the roof. He'd come in the house and kick me out of bed. His feet were full of bunions. He could eat a barrel of onions and go to sleep a-standing on his head. He'd go in a saloon, put his hoof through a spittoon, kick the bar into the gutter for a joke. When he lay down and died, every mule in heaven cried. Empty is the stable, Dave is gone.
Dave has left the stable for the promised land. His overshoes and saddle are in the pond.
No more hay he'll ever chew, for they've turned him into glue.
Empty is the stable. Dave is gone.
That was love, me and that mule. True love.
Well, thank you for being open about a personal matter. It was deeply felt.
Anytime, Doc. Well, Doc continued on up the road to Thronson's, thinking about true love, knowing that old man Thronson would be out in the field and he'd have a chance to woo Lorna. Lorna being Thronson's daughter, as I mentioned before, if you were following me. If you weren't following me, now's the time to pick up and tag along with the person next to you. Anyway, back to Doc and Lorna and true love.
Don't bother with your advances, Ebenezer Johnson. I've no interest. If you've brought me something, which I doubt, leave it on the porch. Papa will be home soon. Well, and even if he never came home, I'd put you off myself. You are looking for pears on an elm tree, Mr. Johnson.
Well, I was just passing by on my way up to Sutter's.
And when did you start making house calls?
Well, a friend in need
is a poor excuse to stop by here. Mr. Johnson, are you planning to eat Mr. Sutter's cooking?
Well, it is around lunchtime, but I have had his cake.
Well, much as I'd like not to see you again, well, I couldn't live with myself if you were to expire on account of not being warned. I was up to Sutter's last week, and he made a roast so tough you couldn't stick a fork in its gravy. I kept looking around for the other boot. Poor Naomi. He is as lazy as Sunday. Won't happen to me.
I never will marry a man who is poor. He'd keep me a begging from door to door. Shivaroo-lee tee, dee dee dum dum, dee dee dum dum, dee dee dum dum da dee. Shivaroo and a roo. I never will marry a man who is thin, who's all bones and skin and blows with the wind. Shivaroo-lee tee, dee dee dum dum. Dum-dum, diddy-dum-dum, daddy, shiveroo and a roo. I never will marry a man who is fat, who sits on the porch swing and smothers the cat. Shiveroo-lee-tee, diddy-dum-dum, 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 daddy, shiveroo and a roo.
Now, Mr. Johnson, well, you obviously have in mind to court me. Well, it's only fair to tell you that I'll get married when I run out of useful things to do. Of course, I'd have to meet someone I respect, which is about likely as finding a bead of sweat on Mr. Sutter's brow. Now, I know there are folks that think you are the whole team and the little dog under the wagon, but I am not one of those folks. I look at the water before I drink, and looking at you, I am not about to swallow. I never will marry a man who won't work, a man who is poor, is old, is young, is thin, is fat, is short, is tall. Good day, Mr. Johnson.
Well, a thoughtful Doc Johnson continued on up the road to Sutter's. A little let in, but Doc wasn't one to let a few words spoken in unbridled passion ruin his afternoon.
I've got a motto, merry and bright. Look around and you will find every cloud is silver lined. I've often said to myself, I've said, cheer up, Johnson, you'll soon be dead. It's a short life, but a gay one. Afternoon, Naomi. Fine-looking corn. Looks better than George's ever did.
Surprised anyone can remember that far back.
George was lucky to find you.
Find me? Even a blind pig finds an acorn, Mr. Johnson. What kind of trouble are you bringing with you?
Well, I'm here to see George. He's looking to get well.
Looking to get well? He's looking like he's been chewing tobacco and spitting against the wind is how he's looking. If you're here about his elbow, you're a little late.
Oh, he's better. Well, that wizard oil.
Wizard oil? His elbow's better, all right. But now he's claiming that that foul-smelling extract you promote has chased the rheumatism out of his elbow and into his knee. What a pitiful sight, him and that crutch.
Well, pity is a poor plaster, but patience is the perfect panacea. Naomi, if I told you I had a cure for George, I mean a cure, would you give me a minute to explain?
A cure?
A cure?
You have 30 seconds. Talk fast. The flies are gathering around you.
If the flies were gathering, it was not Doc Johnson who was sending out the invitation. No, the smell rising from George Sutter's kitchen was the more likely culprit. Good afternoon, George.
Afternoon. Care for some lunch?
What's that?
Meatloaf.
Meatloaf?
Meatloaf.
I think I'll pass. Hey, how'd you get it that color, George?
Practice.
Now, if there was to be a cure, it wasn't to be that day. No, sir. Medicine takes time, like a well-told story, or a glass of what's good for you. We'll pick up next afternoon. Down where the folks we know gather for lunch, where coffee is saucered and blowed, and gossip floats like soda crackers on homemade tomato soup.
Doc?
George?
Lorna?
Naomi?
Fellas?
It's too bad.
Sure is.
Yep.
Can't really blame her.
No.
Guess is what you'd expect.
Sure is.
I warned her. Can't say that I didn't.
Can't say you didn't.
No.
You'd think she'd have enough sense to see what was coming.
Should have seen what was coming.
Yep.
Too late now.
Sure is.
Wasn't the way she was raised.
Not the way she's raised.
Nope.
Well, she's too far gone for us to do any good at this point.
Sure is.
She's gone, all right.
Gone.
Sure is.
Yep.
Too bad. We could have used a few more like her if we'd had them.
Doesn't do much good to think about it now.
No.
Doesn't do much good.
Always hope it turned out better in the end.
I warned her.
Yep.
You warned her.
Too late now.
Sure is.
Yep.
It's too bad.
It's a good thing we aren't ones to gossip.
Well, personally, I'm not one to repeat gossip. I'm always the one that starts it.
Yeah, keeping a secret from Naomi's like sneaking daybreak past a rooster. Sometimes it's best if you don't say a thing. I know a couple fellas once who wish they never opened their mouths. A dude into the country went to meet his cousin Pat, and there he saw an animal that he supposed a cat. It nestled in the wagon track, it had two white stripes down its back. He thought it was the cutest cat he did ever see. He stepped up close and softly said, "Here, kitty, come to me."
But now he's sorry that he spoke. Now he's sorry that he spoke.
They had to bury all his clothes and then put clothespins on their nose. They threw him in the lake to soak.
Now he's sorry that he spoke.
There was another fella. What was his name now?
Houlihan.
Oh, yeah, Houlihan. Yeah, I think I told this one before. Yeah.
Why don't you tell it again?
I think I will. A man named Patrick Houlihan once worked down on the dock. He went down to the quarry where the men were blasting rock.
What then?
They had some brand new dynamite. They said it didn't work just right. Pat grabbed a piece, he lit a match with many a smile and smirk. He said, "I'll show you the reason why. It's wet and will not work."
But now he's sorry that he spoke. Now he's sorry that he spoke.
He shot up to the Milky Way. He hasn't come back to this day. A loud report, a puff of smoke, and now he's sorry that he spoke. Yes,
now he's sorry that he spoke. Now he's sorry that he spoke. He shot up to the Milky Way. He hasn't come back to this day.
A loud report, a puff of smoke, and now
he's sorry that he spoke. That he spoke, that he spoke, that he
spoke.